Screen Time with John Fardy. This is News Talk.
Hello and welcome to Screen Time. I'm John Fardy and this is News Talk's TV and movie show. This week on the show, we're doing one of our special shows, Best Kept Secret TV. A few years ago, we looked at some great movies you might have missed in a Best Kept Secret special. And this week, we're doing it on TV. So if you'd like to get in touch about some of your favourite shows that you don't feel get the love they deserve, or our cult TV shows that you think more people should know about, you can email us, screentime@newstalk.com. I have an esteemed panel in studio. Joining me, our regular reviewer on this show, arts journalist and film critic, Chris Wasser. Also by News Talk's own, something, something, Kira Tracy. You had so many monikers, I didn't know what to say.
I appreciate that. Thanks so much for having me on.
Something, something. You're all very welcome. You know, it occurs to me, right, and let me know what you think about this, that in the age of, people bemoan streaming. Because, right. You know, it's killing kind of water cooler TV where people used to watch something and it dropped, or it was on terrestrial TV and then everyone came in the next day and watched it. But, and that's true, it has killed that. But in the age of streaming, it's so much more possible to discover great shows you might have missed.
Yeah, but it's so much more possible than to forget about great shows too, because you're too spoiled for choice.
True.
I think some of the shows we'll be looking at too that, you know, deserved a bigger audience and that might have been cancelled after one or two seasons. Certainly the shows on my list were released during the pandemic. Mm. So sometimes it's external factors. It's because, or it's because of, you know, especially during the pandemic, people were watching more trash, let's face it, you know, or comfort watching things that they were familiar with, you know, repeat, repeat, repeat. Whereas new challenging shows, maybe audiences didn't want that at the time, didn't want something new. So yeah, so streaming has been great for television, but it has also been a bad thing.
Yeah. He's taken my point and turned it on its head, hasn't he, Kira?
Well, there is the thing of oversaturation, but my biggest gripe with it is the shows being cancelled after a season.
Yeah.
So you get invested and all of a sudden they're just taken out of our lives and it's so disappointing.
Yeah.
But having said that, it's great to have the freedom of choice and also give creators the idea, like, you know, more freedom to be able to do what they love.
Yeah, good point as well. Okay, so listen, if you're listening, if you've just tuned in, we've only been on air about 2 minutes, but in case you've just tuned in, we're looking at some great TV shows you might have missed. I've called this Best Kept Secret. I'm not sure why, but sure, let's see what happens. So Kira, ladies first, I don't know, can you say that anymore? I mean, you can't even hug your secretary anymore. What's the world coming to? I'm joking, of course. But Kira, let's start with you. Tell us a show you think not enough people know about and they should, and why.
Okay, so I'm going to take us not too far away to 2022 with From. So this is a mystery sci-fi horror, and it's from the executive producers of Lost. So you know you're in good hands.
Lost.
Yes. Yeah. So it stars Harold Perrineau, I hope I'm saying that nicely, but he would be best known from Romeo and Juliet with DiCaprio. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. He's a great actor. So to summarize From, it's people accidentally arrive in this town in the US. They're just on a road trip. They could be going anywhere. And once they enter this town, they cannot leave. So they'll be doing loops and loops and loops. Don't know how you get there. No way of getting out. So there's this community, a divided community too. You can either live in this big kind of manor house or you're in the town where people are living together, so confused from different years as well, which is really interesting. There's one guy that's been there from as a child.
Okay.
And as if that wasn't daunting enough, when nighttime comes, people come out of the woods. They look like you and I.
But lucky them.
Lucky them. But when they knock on your door asking to come in, if you let them in, they will turn into hideous monsters and they will eat. Well, they kind of do it for fun. They like splay you. Like it's actually very, like, kind of gory.
Okay.
But it's so good. And there's politics in this kind of divided town, and there's the horror, and there's the mystery, and there's the lives you get invested in too, and sometimes they are harshly taken from us.
So this is From, it was on Apple TV, 2021, completely passed me by, I have to say. So is this America writ large in this small town then?
Yeah, like, it does. It has the kind of classic, like, there's the diner and, you know, the classic kind of Americisms. But again, the family life and everything like that. But at the same time, it's just so, so like foreign because of this weird like mystery. And it's almost kind of like a commune to some extent, although everyone's been forced into this situation. And there's, these kind of mysterious talisman that protect people from these horrible creatures who come out at night. We still don't know. There's four seasons out now. It's still going, which is fantastic.
Yeah, I saw an ad for it on Sky the other day.
Oh, really?
Somewhere. That's the only thing I've ever seen. So it's still a work in progress.
It's still a work in progress.
Is each season satisfying?
Yeah, they leave it on fantastic cliffhangers where you're literally like, I cannot believe this has happened to me. It feels so personal that you've left me like in suspense.
Yeah, let's take a quick flavor of From.
Missed you so much.
Megan, what are you doing?
You don't look like my grandma.
She's not your grandma.
I'm so lonely.
Baby, please just...
Maybe I can come in.
Megan, no!
That is a clip of the freaky From. It's just called From, not Freaky From. From, which is Keira Tracy's first choice in TV you might have missed. Chris, have you seen From?
No, is that Lindelof? Is that Damon Lindelof involved in it?
I believe so.
Yeah.
It's a really good... I mean, there's actually a lot of like people I hadn't heard of before, but there's fantastic acting in it and a fantastic crew. And yeah, really, really recommend.
Yeah, because I know some people think of, you know, From the makers of Lost, and one of my shows is From the makers of Lost, and they run a mile.
No,
but those guys are fantastic. Yeah. And I do like Harold Perrineau, so I will watch it. Every time I think of Harold Perrineau, though, I think of him standing on, you know, a dock on that island screaming, "What?" That's Harold Perrineau in a nutshell for me, but I'll give it a go.
He plays a sheriff in it and he's fantastic.
Okay. Excellent. Yeah. But just the thing about the Lost guys, you see, the problem, everyone knows this, Lost began brilliantly.
It did.
Was the quintessential, the juice was not worth the squeeze because the end of it was just a travesty, right?
It was. I think if you stuck it out to the end, it was.
You felt very disappointed.
I was more or less satisfied with it. I don't subscribe
really?
To the idea. Yeah, I know Damon Lindelof at the time, and we're going to be talking about him those. He said it wasn't so much about the destination, but more about how you felt on the journey, which is a wishy-washy way of saying, you know, we didn't really know what we were doing, and I don't really think they did. But when it was good, it was the best thing on television.
Yeah,
it could be so
the
clever.
The first season was brilliant.
So moving, so intelligent. I liked it. Even at its worst, I had a lot of time for it.
Fair enough. I remember when Noel Gallagher was asked what Wonderwall is about, he said, you know, it's all things to all men. So anyway, Chris, your first choice is... Now, I love this. I haven't watched it in a long time, but it doesn't get the flowers it deserves. We're talking about The Leftovers.
Yeah, this is... People sometimes ask me, what's your favourite film? What's your favourite... You know, who's your favourite band? What's your favourite television show? The answers to the others are a bit complicated, but this, The Leftovers, is my favourite
Your favourite TV show of all time?
Of all time, yeah.
Even ahead of The Sopranos?
Ahead of The Sopranos, yeah.
Oh, we've reached that difficult juncture. I need the guests to stay in studio, but yeah. No, I'm joking. Okay, why do you love The Leftovers so much? And remind people what it's all about.
The Leftovers initially was based on a novel by Tom Peretta, who was actually involved in the creation of the show with Damon Lindelof. And the first season covers the novel entirely, where we're focusing on this small town, Mapleton, upstate New York, and how the lives of the citizens of Mapleton are affected by this sudden great departure. So this sudden departure happened 3 years before the series kicks off. And what happened, you know, that day on October 14th was that 2% of the world's population just... disappeared, just vanished into thin air, and nobody knows what happened. And it's not, this series is not, you know, a Lost type setup where it's like, you know, what is this island? Where is this island? And will anyone make it off? It's not, you know, what happened and how are we going to find out what happened to everyone? It's more about The Leftovers. The clue is in the title. Mm-hmm. It's about how, you know, the lives of these ordinary people are affected by this extraordinary situation. And we follow a bunch of characters, chiefly a police chief, played by Justin Theroux, Kevin Garvey. It's a crime to me whenever I hear Justin Theroux, you know, most recognisable for, you know, the comedies he was involved in, or writing Iron Man 2, or being involved with Jennifer Aniston. No, he gave the performance of his life in this series. I thought he was just tremendous here. And he's playing a police chief whose life is just completely upended, not just by the sudden departure, but by the fact that during the departure, he was actually cheating on his wife, and that just tore apart the family. His wife has actually gone silent and joined this silent cult. His son has run away with a different cult, and it's basically we're following, you know, this police chief as he tries to keep his family together, and we're also following a family down the road where you've got Kerry Coon and Krista Eccleston. One of them, they lost their entire family during the departure, and another is a reverend whose faith has been completely tested by this inexplicable event. That's the first season, but the second and the third, when went completely off the wall, because you had this unique situation where Tom Perrotta and Damon Lindelof came together and said, we no blueprint anymore, so we can do whatever the hell we want. Mm. And they just went weird times 100. And I love that. The ideas.
But it didn't go off a cliff weird.
It didn't. No. The storytelling was always still so clean. Even when the ideas were just absolutely bonkers, you were invested in the storytelling. You believed the characters. As I say, they're real characters. The situation they're in is so extraordinary and far-fetched, but you believe in them. I love this. I love the writing. I love the performances. It looks fantastic. The score. If you've never seen an episode of The Leftovers, you have definitely heard the score. Either in a coffee shop or a cinema while waiting for a film to come on. You've definitely heard that score by Max Richter.
Yeah.
It's up there for me. It's perfect.
Chris Wasser's favourite TV show of all time. Kira, have you seen The Leftovers?
No, I actually don't even think I've heard of it, feels criminal because you have sold it to me. I'm a massive sci-fi fan. And actually, speaking of sci-fi, Christopher Eccleston, I'm a massive Doctor Who nerd.
Yeah.
So that has got me sold as well. And a really young Margaret Qualley as well.
Margaret Qualley, yeah. A lot of people. You've also got Kevin Carroll in there. The awesome Regina King is in there too.
Jordan Adipo.
Liv Tyler's in there too. Yeah, the cast is just terrific.
And, you know, there is, you can look metaphorical and think, well, was this grand departure 9/11? I always thought when I watched the first season.
Yeah.
But it could be anything, I suppose.
It could be anything. Don't go into it thinking you'll get a few answers, let's just say. But don't go into it thinking, everything's going to be wrapped up in a box for me. It's not. But I also don't want to say enjoy the experience, because that's what Damon Lindelof said. but look, you will not regret pressing play on this.
It is a terrific TV series, which I think is still on Netflix.
It's on HBO Max now, of course.
If you've just tuned in, we're looking at some of the best TV you might have missed in recent years. I'm with Chris Wasser and Kira Tracy. Chris was talking about The Leftovers there. Before that, Kira was talking about From. Now, I mentioned this the last time we did one of these shows. If it was a normal show, my guests would talk and that would be it. But because it's fronted by an egomaniac who has to talk as much as his guests, I want to nominate something as a TV show that doesn't get the love it deserves. And this is Exhibit A for me.
Okay, I'm going to need one large cafe misto with soy milk, extra hot. Next, a hot chai latte.
Whoa, what are you doing?
I'm ordering.
Yeah, I know, but I was here first and I'm just getting a black coffee. One black coffee.
I thought you said ladies first name.
Yeah, back there, not here.
Why? What's the difference?
Sir, name.
Hold on there, sporty. The difference is that over there I was being chivalrous, and over here you're being selfish and thoughtless and rude. You live in the world with other people, okay? Get your nose out of your phone, you might see that.
My phone? I have the coffee order for work on here.
There's like 100 drinks on that thing. What? Why are you getting coffee for the whole office? Have you never heard of Betty Friedan?
No.
Gloria Steinem?
Not a clue.
Really?
No. Mm-mm, not at all. Maybe you need to be on medication.
I am on medication. It's called coffee, and I can't get it because I'm waiting for you to order for everyone in your millennial clown car.
You're an asshole.
I'm an asshole.
Yes.
I'm an asshole?
Yes, an asshole. Because let's be real. If I wasn't young and, let's face it, kind of hot, you wouldn't have held that door open for me. You were flirting, and then when you realized I showed no interest, you got mad, and then all your chivalry went right out the window.
So that's how you do it? You just take all your own self-centered behavior and you flip it on me, so now I'm supposed to be the
asshole? Coffee for asshole?
Yeah, that's me.
Yes. Now, that was Rob Livingston there playing the character of Loudermilk. Loudermilk is a show that was originally on Amazon and, like Chris was talking about earlier, was kind of rediscovered during lockdown when it landed on Netflix. And Livingston plays this guy called Sam Loudermilk, who was kind of a rock critic and wrote a couple of rock music books and was the zenith of a musical snob that you can most possibly imagine. He was also, and is, an alcoholic. And when we meet him, he's a very angry recovering alcoholic who happens to be organising his own weekly sobriety meeting, let's call it, with fellow addicts. He is the most, as you heard in the clip there, down at heel, angry with the world kind of guy. Enter the equation is a young junkie, in essence, who comes to live with him for various reasons we won't get into, and a housemate and a new love interest across the hall. This is a delightful show, which is absolutely hilarious. And the creators wanted to do a show about addiction, that wasn't just navel-gazing, woe is me, because they said when you're in recovery, there are a huge amount of laughs. And some of the great moments in this come from the AA meetings where people are saying hilarious stuff. And the cast of characters in those AA meetings involve like a former rock star, a guy who's not seeing his daughter anymore. This is a show with so much heart and so much humor. And not a lot of people know about it. Have either of you seen it?
Yes. No, I haven't. I haven't. Sorry, I'm so uncultured.
No, it's not particularly cultured, but it is hilarious.
The first half of that reminded me of BoJack Horseman. Does any of that ring true?
Maybe to an extent, but this isn't animated, obviously.
No, of course not. But when you say about kind of like this grumpy, you know, used to be a big shot like addict, it reminded me of BoJack, and especially with the comedic element.
Yeah, no, it doesn't go that way, I have to say. Chris, are you a fan of this?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, it always felt like an extension almost of the Office Space world, where they're trying to sell you this comedy about a guy who can be a complete arse at times, but you're still rooting for him. You're still looking forward to seeing what he does next, because there are flashes every now and then that underneath that, you know, rough exterior, he's a good guy.
Yeah, you know? And he's trying to get out. And there's always this sword of Damocles with them all, but particularly him. Is he going to drink again? Because it comes very close once or twice. This was a show that they're talking about renewing. Such was the success on the streamer. It's now all on Netflix. It's absolutely hilarious. And Pat Kenny, in case you wanted to know, is a big fan.
There you go.
Like.
Okay, do you think it'll come back?
Ipso facto, my little Pat Kenny impression. He doesn't mind when I do it. I've asked him, you know. Well,
will it come back?
He's
apparently
very polite.
So, okay. They were talking about doing a fourth season because it went gangbusters in like Canada, Australia, all sorts of places. That is Loudermilk on Netflix, which I am claiming is a best kept secret, doesn't get the love it deserves. We're talking about some great TV shows. Great TV shows you may have missed for various reasons and not a lot of people know about. Cult TV shows, if you will. We're going to talk lots more about them with Kira Tracy and Chris Wasser after the break. Now you're welcome back to this special Screen Time, where we're looking at some TV you may have missed, some cult TV. Hard word to say, but anyway, I said it. Kira, what's next? You want to go to Swarm?
Swarm, yes. So this came out in 2023.
Yes.
So still relatively new, but I feel
like... Where can people see it?
People can see it on Amazon.
Okay.
And I feel like it did not get the love it deserved. So this is a dark, satirical, psychological thriller, a bit horror as well.
About the music business,
very much akin to Stan culture. Now, I'm going to assume you're familiar with that, John.
Yeah.
Just refresh my memory.
So it's this, like, fandoms.
Oh,
so
yes.
It actually, Stan comes from the Eminem song you know, almost at times aggressive fandom culture.
Yeah.
And it doesn't shy away from the fact that it's based on Beyoncé's Beehive.
Mm.
So this is called Swarm. It's based on this musician called Niger, who has the Swarm as her fan kingdom. And it's about this woman called Dre. She's a young woman. Awkward, disturbed, and after the death of her sister, she kind of just goes on a killing rampage. You'll know something bad's going to happen when she asks someone, who's your favourite artist? Who's your favourite singer? You know, if she doesn't like the answer, you start hearing buzzing, and that is the sound of her inner killer monologue. And it's just fantastic. It has some really interesting... first of all, it's co-created by Donald Glover.
Also
known as Charles Gambino.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of Atlanta, and there are sniffs of Atlanta in it as well.
Which you wanted to include this
week. I thought it was too big.
It's a pretty big state. I know, come on, sorry.
And then, always a pleasure to come on Screen Time, by the way, John.
Actually, Atlanta's not a state, it's in Georgia.
I was the one that mentioned that, but you make me nervous on here. And then they have some really interesting appearances from Chloe Bailey, Damson Idris, Kieran Culkin, Paris Jackson, and Billie Eilish.
Billie Eilish is in there, yeah.
And she plays this hypnotic, charismatic cult leader.
Mm-hmm.
She's only in it briefly. I won't tell you why.
Okay.
But
I think we can imagine.
You
your favourite artist.
But it's absolutely fantastic. It's shot beautifully as well. It's really nice aesthetic. And again, like I mentioned, the sound of the bees or the wasps, you know, just by the sounds, it just makes you so uncomfortable. I watched the trailer again today ahead of this and I just felt my stomach turn.
Okay. You know, it's funny, to the point you were both making earlier about the oversaturation. So I ostensibly present a movie and TV TV show, I was barely aware of this, and I'm wondering how I missed this.
I know.
But it is oversaturation, I guess. There's too many good shows out there. Chris, are you aware of this?
I'm aware of it, but I've never watched it, but I want to see it now.
Yeah, so do I.
Oh, I'm so glad. Dominique Fishback is the woman that plays Dre, and she's an incredible actress. And just the way she's able to show this obsession and this animalistic, Donald Glover said, play this like an animal.
Right.
Okay. And she really does. It's just so, it's uncomfortable to watch, but it's just, and it's funny at times as well.
Yeah.
But it really does illuminate. They're not subtle. At the start of every episode, a kind of disclaimer comes up saying this is not a work of fiction. Any similarity to actual persons, living or dead, or actual events is intentional.
Okay, read the whole disclaimer.
There you go. So you know what to expect. And it really is. Some people say, oh, it wasn't subtle enough, but it wasn't made to be subtle.
Okay.
How many seasons were there?
One.
Just the one.
And it was only meant to be. It's kind of, and it's left on a kind of like fever dream. You're not really sure. It's like just deep psychosis. But it's absolutely fantastic.
Okay. There is something to be said for a one season series.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when they're successful, like it can maybe be the most complete form of TV in a way when you think about it.
Yeah.
You
know? A one and done deal is okay. Yeah. Like Big Little Lies was perfect melodrama. And look what happened when they tried to repeat it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, Ricky Gervais always says, even though he did three seasons of Afterlife, but Fawlty Towers 2 is the golden number, particularly for sitcoms. And I'm kind of sympathetic there. Apart from The Sopranos, which was technically 7.
Yeah, that's second greatest, best television show of all time.
Greatest TV show of all time. If you've just tuned in, we're looking at some TV shows you may have missed. And we're Kira Tracy and Chris Wasser. And of course, you are listening to us on News Talk Radio, just in case, you know, Painters Radio. I want to remind you what you're listening to. Chris, this is High Fidelity, but not as we know it.
We're on the wrong side of the rock.
Rob, don't start.
Remember? Remember we were in the park and we were listening to Talking Book and we were having such a nice day and the stupid gay couple on the other side of the rock was just screaming at each other the whole time.
Yeah. I remember.
We promised. You know, we promised that if we ever found ourselves on that side of the rock that we would remind each other to come back to our side of the rock, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we did.
So this is me reminding you.
Yeah, I remember. I just can't remember what it felt like, Rob.
So that was a clip of Zoe Kravitz, not Lisa Bonet, because we're not talking about High Fidelity, the movie. We're talking about High Fidelity, the TV show, which I wager most people don't know even existed.
I know. It's a bloody shame. Lisa Bonet is Zoe Kravitz's mother, and she plays the musician who Rob falls for in the film. But Zoe is actually Rob in this television series.
So the main character is now a woman
So they've gender flipped the
character. That's an easier way of saying it.
Yeah, for the series. But this story has gone through various different directions. Because you know, in the novel, in the novel by Nick Hornby, it was originally in the UK, and then John Cusack took it to which state is it? I've watched it. Chicago. Yeah,
great movie,
fantastic. Yeah, that's a big comfort watch for me. That is. Yeah. And for this series, they sort of like they got Zoe Kravitz in, and there could have been a temptation to kind of change things and you know because it's 20 odd years later, and what does a record store look like in Brooklyn? They don't really change all that much. Mm. It's still about these guys who are involved in a business that I know, the record business right now is more successful than it was maybe 10 years ago, but they're still struggling both at work and in life.
Yeah.
I love this. So you have Zoe playing Rob, who is still heartbroken, when her boyfriend walks out on her, she turns to the camera and says, here's my top 5 heartbreaks.
So
and
she's had a storied love life like Rob.
She has. Yeah. So, but the difference is actually, so the love of her
is
life
actually...
Is she
a nicer girlfriend than he was a boyfriend?
They both had their faults, let's say. Right, yeah. But the difference
much
with this
like
is...
Much like real life.
I think in the film, Rob's girlfriend just walks out and then he kind of goes through this little crisis and he goes through his 5 heartbreaks. In the series, the boyfriend has walked out after 2 years and he's actually left a year ago and she's still not over him.
Okay.
So during the day, at night time she tries to figure out what's wrong with me or what's wrong with all my relationships failing, and then during the day hangs out with Charisse, played by the great Devine Joy Randolph.
Oh yeah, and previous Simon, guest on this show,
she's just phenomenal. brilliant here, and also makes a character that is so synonymous with Jack Black her own, completely her own.
That's amazing. No easy feat.
It's not, no. And then there's also Simon, who she used to go out with, but then when she was going out with him, Simon turned to her one day and said, I'm actually gay. So she's one of his heartbreaks, but she became one of his best friends and works in the store. So he's the nerdy one who works in the store, played by David Holmes, not, you know, Northern Irish composer David Holmes, but a different David Holmes. Yeah. And that's about it. We're just following these guys. The difference with the, again, with the film and the book and then the series is that it's not just the Rob show. There are episodes dedicated to Charisse and also to Simon. And also there's a new love interest played by Jake Lacy, who's very good here, who is a complete, let's say, square. I mean, he has no idea about, you know, this record culture. He has no idea, like, kind of, he's just completely different to the kind of guy that, that Rob usually goes out with. But he's a genuine nice guy, and he might actually be, you know, the real, you know, he might actually be the one for her, but she doesn't, you know, she can't see it. She's just still obsessed with the ex.
That would be too easy.
Yeah.
How many seasons are there?
One season.
Okay.
This came out, I think this came out during the pandemic. It wasn't allowed to breathe. It was cancelled by Hulu. It wasn't given a chance. I think it was an awful shame. And Zoe Kravitz is not quiet about the fact that you should not have cancelled the show. Yeah. You should have given it a second, given it even more of a push, because I think there's a lot of people who don't even know that the show actually existed. I still live and hope that someone somewhere will, you know, it's been 6 or 7 years, will pick up this series for a second one. It does feel like the one season that we got does tell the whole story, and you could, and the way it ends is very satisfying. It does feel like a little bit of a closed book. So it's you don't look at it like, oh, where, you know, what was going to happen next? But that doesn't mean that I still don't want to see
more of those characters. Brought back shows that have well and truly ended in the past before. Tell me this, there's so much I love about that movie, not least of all the heartache and the romance and the doomed love, but the tangible love of physical music and live performance as well. But they are music obsessives. Are they music obsessives in this?
Unbelievably so. They annoy each other, they annoy the customers that come into the shop.
Brilliant.
They flip the whole thing. You know the whole thing of a customer coming in and asking for a Stevie Wonder's I Just Called to Say I Love You, and this time a customer comes in and asks to buy a Michael Jackson record, and let's just say that the workers spent far too long. They are in possession of Michael Jackson records, but they don't know whether they should sell Michael Jackson records.
Brilliant.
Those are the kind of guys we're dealing with. They can be so annoying, but God, I love them. It's a great performance by Zoe Kravitz.
Oh, that sounds great. Can people watch that then on Disney?
You can watch that on Disney Plus, yes.
Oh, fantastic.
Which I didn't realise.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get on
half
that.
Hour episodes as well.
Oh, now
you're always
bonus. And I looked at the soundtrack. We'll be finishing the show tonight with possibly the greatest soul pop song of all time. Luther Vandross's Never Too Much features in it. So
okay.
What more proof do you need of a great TV show? I can tell you don't think that's a great song, but let's move on.
No, but I actually am so glad to hear it's on Disney, because I had heard of this because I love Zoe Kravitz. I just think, like, I think it was targeted to my Twitter when it came out because she's just so beautiful. And I didn't know it was so accessible now, so I'm definitely going to watch that.
Yeah, well, you've... two new viewers, Disney Plus, if you're listening. All compliments to Chris Wasser. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to a special Screen Time where we're looking at some great TV you may have missed. As I mentioned, I'm giving a few choices as well. And I want to quickly mention, because time, as is always the case in these shows, is running along. Somebody Somewhere, which came out, I think, 6 years ago at this stage, stars Bridget Everett, who's a comedian in real life, who returns to her hometown called Manhattan, but it's not the Manhattan of Manhattan of New York. It's the Manhattan right in the heart bang of middle America. It's the smallest town imaginable. It's in Kansas. And she returns following the death of her sister. And what I love about this is she forms a friendship with her friend Sam, but he's a well-known actor in America and comedian, Jeff Hiller. And it's incredibly modern and incredibly old-fashioned. She has gay friends. She has a trans friend. But yet they're going to church choir rehearsals. It's a study of kind of a lost soul in her late 40s in a very, what I imagine America actually is, away from the headlines. And it is the most beautiful tale of friendship between these two central characters. And sometimes the, as Proust calls it, the vulgar heat of jealousy. It's a real interesting study about friendship and also modern romance. And it has so much heart. Like, it is a comedy, but there are times you are crying watching it. So I'm not sure, it really is a dramedy in the strongest sense of the phrase. It is on Sky Atlantic, HBO Max, all those, that big conglomerate of HBO Sky. You can find it on your box Somewhere. It's three seasons. They were going to make another, but it has ended. Somebody somewhere, Bridget Everett on the finest form imaginable. Have any of you seen it?
No.
I never like, heard of it. How did you find
guys,
it,
guys, you would love it. You would absolutely love it. I know both of you. I know your taste. I'm telling you, you would love it. Okay. I came across it one night by chance on TV. Somebody somewhere, you should get on it, guys. You're listening to a special Screen Time where we're looking at some of the best TV you may have missed. Best kept secret TV, I'm calling it. Some more choices after the break. Now you're welcome back to Screen Time. I'm here in studio with Chris Wasser and Kira Tracy. We're looking at some TV you may have missed, some cultish kind of TV, but great TV that doesn't get the flowers those shows we feel deserve. As I mentioned, I'm with Kira Tracy and Chris Wasser. Kira, it's time for your kind of final choice, and it's very modern. It's of this year.
It's
but of course you are
year.
Very young. So.
I am very, thank you. And I
well, compared to me.
Not hard. And so this came out in March of this year. So I know it was quite bold to put this in the selection.
Tell people what it is.
It's Bait by Riz Ahmed. And I really thought it was going to explode, but it hasn't yet. I'm hoping there'll be time.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is...
If one thing we're learning is shows can have another life.
100%. Yeah. So it's slightly autobiographical, but mainly satirical.
Okay.
So it's about Riz Ahmed, who's playing a guy called Shah Latif, and he auditions for the role. He's a struggling actor auditioning for the role of James Bond.
Right.
So, in case you didn't know, Riz Ahmed and so Shah Latif are British Pakistani actors, and the audition flops.
Oh, it goes. Mic just went there for some reason. Oh no, it was my headphone. Sorry.
Oh,
keep going.
Okay, so he is a British Pakistani actor and he auditions for James Bond and he completely flops it. However, he gets caught intentionally by the paparazzi and he's then put in this whirlwind online in his family of people saying, oh my God, are we finally going to have a brown James Bond? Is he finally going to stop being compared to Dev Patel? And they're so funny. So it's absolutely hilarious. And it's really good at looking at race and identity in Britain, especially for the British Asian community, especially in London as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really great. It has some great cameos as well. We have Himesh Patel, famously known for Yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And also we have the voice of Patrick Stewart, who kindly lends his voice to a pig head.
Pig head. Okay.
And it's absolutely brilliant. And you just kind of see this existential crisis from Shah Latif. Is he being a sellout by, you know, going into this colonial kind of role of the English white James Bond character, or is he shattering a glass ceiling for his community? And that's explored by his family, his friends, a lot of trolls online. So it sounds serious, and there are a lot of deep points on identity, but it's also hilarious. Like, he has family giving out, like, why aren't you in Pakistani films? And his dad's like, he speaks Urdu like a white boy. Like, it's just so brilliant, and you don't have to be in that community to find it funny either.
So this was only out about 8 weeks ago. We didn't review it on this show. Chris, have you seen it?
No, I know of it, but I haven't seen it, no. And I think he's great. And I wasn't really aware that the show got that deep when it comes to, you know, the idea of who the next Bond should be or why he should be like this or that. So yeah, I look forward to it.
It's really good. And he was the creator and he co-wrote the show himself.
Okay.
And obviously he has an Oscar and an Emmy to his name. He was brilliant in The Sound of Metal, The Night Of.
Yeah.
So he can cater to an American and British.
Did Riz Ahmed win an Oscar for The Sound of Metal?
No, he didn't. I was hoping you'd ask. The Long Goodbye. It was a short film that he made.
Ah, sorry. Okay.
He deserves a Oscar for The Sound of Metal. I thought he was brilliant.
He was brilliant.
Also Four Lions too, which is a cult comedy classic.
That is a very funny movie.
And I think that really shows his humour as well, especially when it comes to, you know, the Muslim community in England.
We are talking about some great TV you might have missed. En route to Chris Wasser's kind of final big choice, I will give him some space for honourable mention. I want to quickly go old school and mention a show that I actually think is the greatest Irish TV show of all time. Bold statement. Not Bachelor's Walk, that could be a close second, but Roddy Doyle's crowning achievement, according to him, is a TV show he wrote and devised, directed by Michael Winterbottom in 1994, called Family, which Chris might think, oh, a lot of people know that, and they probably do, but it doesn't get the kudos it deserves. For people who don't know, it is a study of this family, obviously, in working class Dublin, centred by Ger, Ryan playing the mother, wife to horrible, horrible Sean McGinley, who can be charismatic but is horrible playing Charlo. I remember watching this when I was 18 going on 19.
Wow.
Being terrified by this character, Sean McGinley, because and as I think back, I'm not even sure there are one or two brief moments of violence in it, but it is the threat, this horror show of a man bleeds over his family. And each episode is told from four of the family members' characters, and each one is from their point of view, their POV, so to speak. And it, there was huge controversy at the time because all sorts, it was discussed in the Dáil, I remember, you know, when Roddy Dáil said, you know, we'd had Italia 90, we're going off to the World Cup, everyone was having barbecues, and here was I making this show about an abusive husband, and it was the wrong time, but he looks back on it now and thinks it was the best thing he ever did. And it's hard to argue with it, but Sean McGinley's performance as a terrifying abusive husband is one of the greatest acting performances ever committed to Irish or any TV screen of all time. And Jer Ryan as the woman who ultimately survives this man, and the closing scene is her going on with the kids without him, is one of the greatest pieces of TV ever made. Family, and it's all on YouTube, which is either a good thing or a bad thing, because I'd like to think Roddy Dáil and people are still making money out of it, but it is all available to watch on YouTube, and I suggest you do it because it is TV making par excellence. You've seen The Family,
Chris. Yes,
yeah, it's just called Family.
Yeah.
Kira, have you?
I haven't, but
it is terrific.
Consider me sold again.
It's kind of a funny thing, like sometimes you get nervous before talking to certain actors, and before I sat down with Sean McGinley a few years ago, I think I was maybe a little bit nervous because after all of these years, you look at Sean McGinley and you think the man's going to be terrifying, and it's because of the impact of that role. It's how, that's how good a performance it is, when in reality Sean McGinley is just the loveliest man, and quite quiet and witty and very intelligent. But we did talk about Family, and I remember him saying at one point that when the show was initially sold to the BBC, Roddy Dáil had said to the BBC, this has to go out on BBC One at prime time. We're not doing a deal if it goes out on BBC Two at 2 o'clock in the morning. I want people to actually see this. And it's because he fought for that prime time slot that it reached the bigger audience, and that it became a hit. Can you imagine if it just... I'd say other networks would have been like, oh, the content's a bit too heavy here. We're going to have to put it on at 11 o'clock. So I'm glad that you fought for that.
Yeah, and the Ant Beeb, they've done the TV world some... some service, it has to be said. So listen, we're running out of time, but Chris, I know you're very keen to talk to me about Mr. Corman. One season with the great Joseph Gordon-Levitt, also a previous guest on this show.
Big fan of his.
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
I have never seen this.
Created by Joseph Gordon-Levitt, written by him, co-produced, and he's also the lead. I remember Chris Nolan tried to put him off from, you know, directing and starring in his own film before, but he said nothing about, you know, directing, starring, writing, producing his own TV show. I liked this. Mr. Corman, the Josh Corman of the tale, could be a bit of a jerk at times, but I was kind of, I was still rooting for him. He's a public school teacher in the San Fernando Valley. He is not having a great time of it. He should have been a rock star. At one point, he actually was rock star, but the band that he was in with his girlfriend Megan, they broke up. Megan played brilliantly by Juno Temple, and Megan has gone off and moved on with her life, and so has Josh, but he's never really kind of gotten over, you know, that rock and roll dream. These days he only really creates music in his bedroom. He shares this apartment with his best friend, played by the great Arturo Castro, and it's basically just about this guy trying to figure out, what am I doing with my life? I'm not where I thought I would be. I've got this fractious relationship with my mother. I've got this, you know, a strange father who, you know, eventually comes back into his life, played by Hugo Weaving. It's very, very good, very, very funny, quite dark at times, but also playful in terms of its visuals and its storytelling, because sometimes a little bit like, you know, JD and Scrub, sometimes we spend a little bit of time in Josh Corman's head.
Too much time?
No, I quite liked it. And sometimes he has musicals going on in there, or sometimes he's the lead in his own video game. So it is quite creative. Josh can be, he can be a little bit difficult to root for. He can be so whiny and mopey, and maybe there's a reason why this show didn't catch on. But I still liked it. I liked what it was trying to do. I liked the performances in it. I like him. And also, I think it has the best visual. Josh is suffers with anxiety big time, and in every time he looks up into the sky, there's a meteoroid threatening to hit the earth.
Okay.
And after a while, you realize that he's the only person that can see that meteor. This is his anxiety, and that's the best visual representation of anxiety that I've ever seen. And every now and then, too, he hears a bell, and he's alarmed that no one else can hear the bell, and that's a sign that a panic attack is on the way.
Okay.
So I appreciated and admired what he was trying to do there with the character, and also a show that wasn't just impacted by COVID in terms of its release schedule, but also its production. production, because it was 3 weeks into production when they had to shut down. And so they moved everything then to New Zealand, because you could still kind of work in New Zealand, you know, parts of New Zealand were okay. And he rewrote the second half of the show to incorporate the pandemic. So it is actually a pandemic show.
Right. Oh, interesting. Wow. Now, he wrote and directed it and starred in it.
Yeah, a lot.
And one season, was that the intention?
I think, again, I was quite satisfied with the finale. Okay. I felt like the story had been told, but I know that he was hoping to make a second one. So it definitely wasn't the intention.
And Mr. Corman, people can see this where?
On Apple. Apple TV.
Okay, again, that sounds like one I might have to check out.
You know, one of my favourite films of all time is Don John, which Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, which he wrote, directed, starred in. That was his debut as well. So I've definitely sold for that.
We're nearly out of time, Kira. Tell me one show we didn't get to that you want to quickly mention.
So I was actually inspired. I changed my mind during the course of this chat.
Live, baby, live.
So I'm going to go for Life on Mars, BBC.
Absolutely.
John Sim.
I would argue a lot of people know that one. But.
Well, I was born in 1999, so... so I came to this, I didn't watch it. And I don't think it got many awards. I don't think it got too much acclaim.
It was certainly big a while ago, but look, I'm not arguing with you. It is a terrific show.
Yeah, my generation wouldn't know it.
Fair enough.
Not to sound, you know, different. But it was brilliant, and I love the kind of David Bowie ode, and I mean, I probably don't need to explain it since everyone's seen it, John.
Give us the top line of what it's about.
Okay, so a police officer gets into a fatal car crash, almost dies. He's in 2006, and by the time he comes to, he's back in 1973. And it explores him trying to get back home and wonder where he is, but also exploring the practices of the Manchester Met during the 70s as well.
It's a brilliant premise, very good.
Yeah. And the spin-off Ashes to Ashes with Keely Hawes is also fantastic.
Indeed. Well, that is an honourable mention. En route to Chris Wasser's last honourable mention, I want to mention a show we talked about only 6 weeks ago on the RTE Player, Leonard and Hungry Paul, a delightful show based on a novel. Julia Roberts VOs in it. Richie Conroy co-wrote it and directed it. It is absolutely heartwarming, delightful TV about a young man trying to open the doors of his life, so to speak. Do check that out if you haven't. Chris, I'm going to leave the last word to you. A show that people should know about but don't, very quickly.
Yeah, I wish I'd gone with Leonard and Hungry Paul. It's gorgeous. Utopia, complete opposite.
Utopia, hang on. Does everyone not know about Utopia?
I think maybe I included Utopia because it should have been given the chance to continue.
Yeah.
And it also had a difficult transition to America. I think it took about 10 years for the US edition to come out.
So you're talking about the English edition?
No, so the English, the original.
That's Channel 4, isn't it?
Channel 4, yeah. So I think maybe it's had a difficult life. I wish I had seen more of it. For people who haven't seen it, it's about a group of people who are a fan, a small group of people who are a fan of this underground graphic novel nobody knows who created it, called The Utopia Experiments. And people are convinced, conspiratorial nutcases, some of them, are convinced that this graphic novel predicted major world events, and that there's a follow-up one that will predict future world events. There is another group then called The Network who wants this graphic novel, you know, out of public hands, and they will do anything to keep it away from the public. It's brilliant. It's so creative, extraordinarily violent. To an extent where there were complaints about it, and, you know, Channel 4 had to defend it. But I loved it. It was so weird. The soundtrack was so brilliant. Great performances from Adil Akhtir and also from Fiona O'Shaughnessy. I just wanted to see more of it. That's why I've included it.
And presumably that's on the Channel 4 streamer service.
I hope so. It's been a while since I've seen it there, but I hope so. Yeah, because it wasn't anywhere else.
No, it wasn't. And I know there are box sets floating around that people actually have to buy.
Well, wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
I mean, if you can't find it, why not go out and buy a DVD box set? I have loads of them and I swear by them. You have been listening to a special Screen Time where we've been looking at some great TV you might have missed. We've called it Best Kept Secret TV Edition or something like that. If you've missed the show, you can of course listen back on the Go Loud app or wherever you get your podcast. Normal service next week. We will be back at 6 p.m. on the radio on Saturday. My sincere thanks to Kira Tracy and Chris Wasser.